Picture a 10-year-old girl standing at a textile loom in a North Carolina mill. It's 1937. She's been here since 5 this morning. Her fingers are bleeding from the threads. She'll work until 7 tonight, 14 hours, and take home maybe 15 cents. Tomorrow she'll do it again, and the day after that. There's no law stopping this. No one's coming to help her.
She's not going to school?
School, David? In 1937, there are somewhere between 1 and 2 million children working full-time in American factories, mines, and fields. School is a luxury their families can't afford.
This is America? The 1930s?
This is America. And in less than a year, everything is about to change. I'm Sarah.
And I'm David. This is 100 Laws That Shaped America.
Today, we're talking about the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938, a law so fundamental to how we work that most of us have never stopped to think about what life was like before it existed.
I mean, we all know about minimum wage. That came from somewhere, right?
It came from this law, David. But minimum wage is just the beginning. This law created the 40-hour work week, it invented overtime pay, and it finally put serious restrictions on child labor. June 25th, 1938, President Franklin Roosevelt signs it into law, and the American workplace would never be the same.
So what was it like before? What was so broken that we needed the federal government to step in and say, here's how you have to treat workers?
Okay, so it's the 1930s. The Great Depression has devastated the country. At the worst point, 1 in 4 Americans is unemployed, and the people who do have jobs, they're desperate to keep them, which means employers have all the power.
All the power?
All of it. You're a factory owner. You can pay whatever you want. 20 cents an hour, 15 cents, 10 cents. And if your workers don't like it, there are 50 people waiting outside your door who'll take those jobs tomorrow.
Wait, so there's just no floor, no minimum?
No floor, no minimum. In some southern textile mills, adult workers are making as little as 9 or 10 cents an hour. You work a 60-hour week, you might take home
$6. $6 for 60 hours?
And speaking of 60 hours, there's no standard work week. Some factories run 12-hour shifts 6 or 7 days a week. You work until the boss says you can leave. And overtime pay? That concept doesn't exist. Hour 41 pays the same as hour 1.
So you could work someone 80 hours a week at poverty wages and that's just fine?
Not just fine, it's normal. But here's the thing that really gets me, David. The thing that makes this era so hard to look back on.
The children.
The children. We're talking about kids as young as 7, 8, 9 years old, working in coal mines and glass factories and canneries. They're working the same brutal hours as adults, doing dangerous work for a fraction of the already terrible pay.
Why? I mean, I know their families needed money, but...
Because their families needed money. A family where the father's making $6 a week can't survive on that. So the kids work too. And employers love it because children are cheap labor. They're small, they can fit into tight spaces and machines, they don't complain, they don't organize unions.
This is barbaric.
It is. And people knew it was barbaric. Progressive reformers had been fighting against child labor for decades. Some states had their own laws. But it was patchwork, inconsistent, and the Supreme Court kept striking down federal attempts to regulate it.
Wait, the Supreme Court was blocking child labor laws?
In 1918, in 1922, the court said Congress didn't have the constitutional authority to regulate child labor. So even though most Americans were horrified by it, even though everyone could see these kids being destroyed, legally, there wasn't much the federal government could do.
Until FDR.
Until FDR. So it's 1938. Roosevelt has been president for 5 years. The New Deal is transforming what Americans think government can and should do. And FDR decides it's time to tackle this. Time to say there are basic standards, basic dignities that every American worker deserves.
So what does he do? What's actually in this law?
Okay, the Fair Labor Standards Act, Public Law 75-718. It does 4 major things. First, it establishes a federal minimum wage.
Which is?
25 cents an hour.
25 cents.
I know how that sounds now. But David, remember, people were making 9, 10, 12 cents an hour. This was a massive raise for millions of workers. And the law included a mechanism to increase it over time. It would go up to 30 cents, then 40 cents over the next few years.
Okay, so minimum wage, what's second?
The 40-hour work week. This law says 40 hours is a normal work week. You want your employees to work more than that? Fine. but you have to pay them overtime.
Time and a half?
Time and a half. 1.5 times their regular rate for every hour over 40. Suddenly, it's expensive to work people to death. Suddenly, employers have an incentive to either hire more workers or let people go home.
We take this so for granted. Like, oh, I worked overtime, I get overtime pay. That came from this law?
That came from this law. Third thing, record keeping. Employers have to keep records of hours worked and wages paid. Sounds boring, but it's crucial. You can't enforce any of this if there's no documentation.
And the fourth thing?
Child labor restrictions. The law says if you're under 16, you can't work in manufacturing or mining during school hours. If you're under 18, you can't work in jobs the Secretary of Labor declares hazardous.
So it doesn't ban child labor entirely?
No. Kids can still work in agriculture, in family businesses, in some other contexts. But for the first time, there are real federal restrictions with real enforcement. That 10-year-old girl in the textile mill, she's going to school now.
Finally!
So the law passes. Roosevelt signs it on June 25th, 1938. And David, the impact is immediate and enormous. Tell me, within the first year, over 300,000 workers get raises because they were making less than the minimum wage. Millions more see their hours reduced or start getting overtime pay. Children leave factories and go back to school, or go to school for the first time in their lives.
But I'm guessing not everyone was happy about this.
Oh, you guess correctly. Business owners, especially in the South, where wages were lowest, are furious. They say it's going to destroy the economy, kill jobs, ruin American competitiveness.
Sounds familiar.
Doesn't it? Every time the minimum wage has been raised since then, and it's been raised more than 20 times, we hear the same arguments. And yet, here we are.
Wait, so the minimum wage isn't still 25 cents, obviously. How does that work?
Congress has to pass new laws to raise it. It's not automatic. The law set it at 25 cents in 1938, then built in increases to 30 cents in 1939 and 40 cents in 1945. After that, every increase required new legislation. So when did it get to where it is now? The current federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. That was set in 2009. And that's become its own controversy, because it hasn't been raised in over a decade, and many states and cities have set their own higher minimums.
But the basic law, the Fair Labor Standards Act, that's still in effect.
Absolutely. It's been amended and expanded many times, but it's still the foundation of workplace law in America. Every time you get a paycheck that shows your overtime hours, that's this law. Every time you see a minimum wage sign in a store window, that's this law.
What about the child labor part? I mean, we don't see kids working in factories anymore.
We don't, and that's one of the law's greatest successes. The restrictions have been strengthened over the years. There are still exceptions. Like I said, agriculture is a big one, which is its own controversy. But the idea of a 10-year-old working a 14-hour shift in a factory, that's gone. That's illegal. That's unthinkable now.
Because of this law.
Because of this law. And here's what strikes me, David. We're talking about protections that are so basic, so fundamental, that most Americans can't imagine working without them.
Right. Like the idea that you should get paid a minimum amount, that you should get extra pay for extra work. These feel like human rights, not government regulations.
But they didn't exist until 1938. They're not natural laws of the universe. They're not inevitable. They exist because people fought for that, because Roosevelt and Congress decided workers deserved dignity, and because this law made it happen.
So when people today debate raising the minimum wage or changing overtime rules,
they're continuing a conversation that started with this law. They're arguing about the same questions. What's fair? What do workers deserve? What's the government's role in protecting people?
Has the law changed a lot since 1938?
It's been amended dozens of times. Coverage has expanded. Originally, it only applied to workers in interstate commerce, which left out a lot of people. Over the years, it's been extended to more and more workers. The minimum wage has been raised repeatedly. Overtime rules have been refined and debated endlessly.
It's a living law.
It is a living law. It grows and changes with the economy, with society's values, with our understanding of what fairness means.
You know what gets me? We started this episode with a 10-year-old girl in a factory.
We did.
And because of this law, because Roosevelt signed this piece of paper in 1938, that girl got to leave. She got to be a kid. She got to go to school. Her life changed overnight.
Multiply her by hundreds of thousands. Multiply her by millions. That's the impact we're talking about.
This law saved childhoods.
It saved childhoods. It gave workers leverage. It said, your time has value. Your labor has worth. You deserve to be paid fairly, to have limits on your hours, to have a life outside of work.
These seem like such obvious principles now.
They weren't obvious then. They had to be fought for. They had to be written into law. And they have to be protected. Because there are always people who want to roll them back, who say they're too expensive, too burdensome, too restrictive.
So this law isn't just history.
This law isn't just history. Every paycheck you receive, every time clock you punch, every overtime hour you work, the Fair Labor Standards Act is there, quietly protecting you, just like it's been protecting American workers for more than 80 years.
The Fair Labor Standards Act, 1938.
The law that said American workers deserve dignity. Next time on 100 Laws That Shaped America.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time.